Well, once again, good morning. Glad that you're spending your Mother's Day with us this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. And as always, we hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. We hope that Holy Spirit that we just invited here, we hope that you feel the Holy Spirit here. There is a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. We welcome you to fill that out. We'd love to know that you were here. You don't have to do that, but would really like to know that you're here with us. You can, if you want to be on our email list, you can put your email down there. Check the little box. We'll add you to our email list. We also have a Wiley Methodist app. You can go to the app store and just put in Wiley Methodist Abilene. Did you know there's a Wiley Methodist in Wiley, Texas? Did you know that? Sometimes we have people show up for church at 10 o'clock and they're like, "We're not started yet. I thought your website said 10 o'clock. I said, you looked at the wrong Wiley Methodist." So anyway, we are glad that you're here, and you can take that blue card. I will be at the end of the service. I'll be out in the foyer at the end. I have a free gift for our visitors. Would love to meet you and get to know you if you want to bring the card and meet me there. If not, you can just leave the card there in your seat as you leave today. Hope that you all have a great Mother's Day today. Turn with me, if you would, to John 19. John chapter 19. Now, this is a first-hand account from the Apostle John in verse 25, John 19, 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we do indeed invite you. We ask you to come and speak in power and authority. We ask you to transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message, in honor of our mothers, a mother's legacy is today's message. I couldn't help, you know, this is, I want to show a little video, short little video clip here. This video just cracks me up. Now, it is a Progressive Insurance commercial. I'm not endorsing Progressive Insurance, and I'm not endorsing Progressive Insurance, okay? So if we got any insurance agents in the building, please do not be offended by this. But it's a hilarious video, and I thought it was appropriate for today. So go ahead and watch this. It's, Lee runs.
I noticed it as soon as we moved into the new house. A lot of people have vertical blinds.
Well, if a lot of people jump off a bridge, would you? You hungry?
I'm okay, right?
I'm becoming my mother.
It's been hard, but some of the stuff he says is actually pretty helpful.
Getting bundled in our home and auto insurance is a good deal. Like buying a boat. That's fun, right?
Progressive can't protect you from becoming your parents, but we can protect your home and auto.
I saw the change in red.
No, keep going, Lee. There's another one. If we were paying you anything, I'd dock you right now. Go ahead, just play it. Yeah, that's good.
Was enlightening.
You don't like my lasagna?
No, it's good.
Your blow? Blow on it?
You see it, right?
Is there a draft in here?
I'm telling you, it's so easy to get home insurance on Progressive.com.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto.
Poor moms. We're picking on moms today. Every cliche in the book they threw out there. About a couple of months ago, I put this in my email this weekend, we lost Barbara Bush, I think it was just almost 2 months ago, And whether we, you know, where we are politically and whether we agree or don't agree with any of those kinds of things, I think we can agree that Barbara Bush was an example of a mom to our nation and how she loved her family. And I found it really interesting as they were televising her memorial service and so forth. And one of the programs that I was watching, they quoted the back of the memorial program that they had at the service, and they had a quote from her, and I want to just read it to you here. I've got it there on the slide as well. George Bush and I have been the two luckiest people in the world, and when all the dust is settled and all the crowds are gone, the things that matter are faith, family, and friends. Isn't that a great quote? Don't you love that? And so I was kind of thinking in my own mind about that statement, the things that matter, faith, family, and friends. And I was thinking, is that true? I mean, is that really, can we boil down a rich life? Can we boil down a good life to those three things? And I would submit to you that God's word seems to affirm that. So we're going to unpack each of those just a little bit this morning. God's word does indeed say that friends matter. Friends matter. I just tell you, I don't know what people do outside of church because as I look around the room, the dearest friends I have in the whole world generally are here on Sunday mornings. And I can't imagine what Cheryl and I's life would have been like without church friends and godly friends. The biblical example I have of this is, and I preached on this a few months ago, Jonathan and David. Jonathan was King Saul, who was the first king of Israel, King Saul's son, Jonathan, and David, and they became, and David was, we know, was the heir apparent. He was the king in waiting, and Jonathan became dear friends. And let me just read a couple of passages here. These are out of 1 Samuel. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. So there's this friendship between Jonathan and David actually led to a covenant that they had. Now Saul, when he began, because David began to do great things, we know he slayed Goliath and he began to lead the army and have all kinds of success, and the people were praising David, and Saul was jealous, and so out of fear and jealousy, Saul plotted to kill David. In 1 Samuel again 19, Saul told his son Jonathan, who is a friend of David, told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. But Jonathan was very fond of David and warned him, "My father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there." And even this covenant that they had, went into their descendants. In 1 Samuel 20, Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" So there's this tight covenant, this tight friendship between Jonathan and David, and Jonathan's dad is trying to have David killed. Ultimately, the story goes, this is great. If you want to read in 1 Samuel, you can read all about this. Ultimately, Saul and Jonathan are killed in battle, okay? And so, now, in the Old Testament biblical times, if a king was deceased and there was someone else that was kind of the heir to the throne, then the family of that deceased king was in trouble, because they generally would wipe them out so that there would be no kind of conflict for the throne. So typically, David would have had Saul's family killed, including all of Jonathan's children. So here's what, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, here's what we read. The king asked, and this is King David at this point, because Saul and Jonathan had been killed, Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? So David normally would be wiping them out. Instead, he's seeking this family that he can show kindness. Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." So King David had him brought to him. When Mephibosheth, say that three times with me, you ready? Mephibosheth, okay, you're not with me. Now, come on now, here we go, three times really fast. Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth. Y'all are really not that great at that. Okay, but you can work on it, you can get better. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, your servant," he replied, "don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." And now listen to the response in verse 8. Listen to the response Mephibosheth gave David. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" And you can just see now, Mephibosheth, when he was 5 years old, they had found out that Saul and Jonathan had been killed, and so his nursemaid grabbed him up and was running from the room to protect him. He fell, broke his feet, and he became crippled in both feet. And so you can just tell, I mean, he's the grandson of the deceased king. He thinks that he should be killed, and David shows him mercy. And you can just hear it in his voice, just the humility and the thankfulness. "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" So I go back to say, friendship matters. Friendship matters. And it matters how we treat one another. It just matters. And I would even say that, take that even a step further, that even the people that are not, that we wouldn't call friends, it still matters that we treat people with kindness. Secondly, God's word confirms and says that family matters. Family matters. John chapter 1. Now remember, this is the Apostle John that wrote this book. John chapter 1, it says in verse 32, "Then John gave this testimony." When it says John there, it's talking about John the Baptist. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God.'" Now, so John the Baptist has had this vision that has confirmed what the Holy Spirit had told him who the Messiah would be. Verse 35, "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.'" Verse 40, "Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus." The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah. That is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Do you hear the love of a brother? Do you hear the love for a brother? This was not a small occurrence. This is they have found the Messiah, the Christ, and they had been Andrew had been following John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said, "No, you don't need to follow me more. See that guy right there? That's the Lamb of God." And it's been confirmed to me by the Holy Spirit. The first thing, not the second thing, not something the next week, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother and tell him, "We found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Family matters. The love we have for one another. And I'll tell you, the greatest gift we can give our family is sharing Christ with them. And probably the hardest thing we can do is sharing Christ with family, isn't it? I don't know why it is, but it seems like the closer we are with people. I remember with my brother, you know, he was big brother. He was always big brother, and he always knew best. Well, he always knew best. He always knew more. He was big brother. And I can remember 2 months before Jay was killed, I can remember having a conversation with him, and this was so unusual, but I remember him saying what the scenario was. There was someone that he was trying to share Christ with, and they had gone through a divorce, and they had been taught as a child, which, by the way, this is not what God's Word says. They had been taught basically if you divorced and remarried, you were going to hell. And that's what they'd been taught in the church. And Jay was trying to tell this person about grace, and that's why Jesus hung on a cross, you know, because we get it wrong so many times. And so he called me, and it was so unusual. He called me and he said, "Will you talk to this person and try to explain grace to them?" Well, I wasn't a pastor at the time. I was actually in the process of heading that direction. But I remember thinking, that's really odd that Jay would ask me for anything, really. I mean, he didn't even ask me for money. I mean, you know, so he wouldn't ask me for anything else. But I remember just feeling like, well, that's really odd that he would ask me that. And I said, sure, Jay, I'll do that. And before he handed the phone to that person, he said, "Jeff, I want you to know that I know what Jesus did for me. I know what Jesus did for me." And 2 months later, Jay was killed. And it was really several weeks after that God brought back the specifics of that conversation. Because at the time, it was just, you know, something that happened and I moved on. But in the context of things, I remembered it weeks later. Man, church, family's precious. Family's precious. And the peace that me and my family can have today is knowing Jay knew Jesus. Jay, not only did he know him, but he knows him. Now, in John 19, the passage that we read at the beginning, John 19, I'm going to read it again. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Now remember, this is the Apostle John conveying what he experienced. This is a firsthand accounting of what's taking place at the foot of the cross. So this ought to have our attention, church. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, picture this. Jesus is hanging on a cross. He's nailed to a cross and he's looking down. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. Who is that? John's referring to himself. Don't you love that? And John's not, it's not an arrogant title that he puts on himself. It's not like, Jesus loves me and the rest of y'all are out of luck. Like kind of like, you know, Billy being the favorite son. You know, it wasn't one of those kind of moments. James, we know better, don't we? But it wasn't an arrogant title like Jesus loves me and you're just out of luck. No, John understood how Jesus felt about him. And guess what? He feels the same way about us. And so when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, he could say, and me, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here's your son." And to the disciple, which was him, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So he's saying, Jesus asked me, John, to be a son to my mother. That's astounding if you think about it. Jesus had a few other things he could be thinking about when he's nailed to a cross. But he's thinking about the care for his mother. You think family matters? You think it matters? And finally, God's word says that faith matters. Faith matters. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Not someday we might stand in the grace, right now. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. So, if I can summarize that, here's what that passage I think is telling us. That faith through Jesus Christ, faith in and through Jesus Christ, produces in us, first of all, justification. I want to unpack that just a second. Justification. Justification means that even though we were, we should be punished, it's just as if we didn't do the crime. God has justified us. It's made, and in a way I like to hear, like to explain that is, it's just as if we didn't sin, justified, just as if we didn't sin. So God, when He looks at us through Christ, it's just as if we've never sinned. It's just as if this condition of sin is not upon us. So there's this justification through faith in Jesus Christ. It produces justification. That same faith through Jesus Christ produces peace and grace and perseverance and character and hope and love. You see, whatever life throws at us, I hope I don't embarrass you, Dennis. I didn't ask your permission, but I think I have. He gave me a thumbs up. I was just visiting with Dennis this morning, Dennis Ryland. If you don't know Dennis and Ann Ryland, you need to get to know them. Because they're precious people. And they serve our church and love our church, and we love them back. And Dennis, just this past week, as many of you in our congregation have and are struggling with this, he had had his diagnosis of cancer came back a second time. Ann's had all kinds of health issues that he's trying to help her through. And I know I could name so many names in this congregation this morning that have bravely shown an extreme amount of faith through trials. But, you know, one of the things Dennis told me this morning was that, you know, his only hope, his only request is that he can live long enough to care for Ann. As long as Ann's alive, he wants to be her caregiver. And then he's ready. He's ready. We may not be ready but Dennis is ready. And, you know, faith in Christ, whatever life throws at us, church, we can have peace. We can have character and hope and love. I honestly don't know how people survive this life without Jesus. I just don't know. Because it's hard. Anybody, can I get a witness? Is life hard sometimes? I mean, you know, it just is. And how do we do it without Jesus? When all the dust is settled, Barbara Bush says, and all the crowds are gone, the things that matter are faith, family, and friends. And notice, one of the other things that struck me is this: the things that aren't listed. I hope this steps on somebody's toes besides me. The things that aren't listed are money. You know, I've never had anybody come into the end of their life. I've never gone and visited anybody in hospice that was going, I wish I'd just made a little more money. I just want a little more stuff. If I could have just had a little more stuff. So it doesn't list possessions or titles. I wish I could have just become president of the bank. I was just stuck at vice president. If I could have. I never had that. Maybe some of you other pastors have. It doesn't list popularity. Golly, if just more people just liked me. Didn't disagree with my being, a born-again Christian. If I just more people like me. If I'd have just been more successful. I've never heard any of those things. And they're not listed. You know, there's a man, he's deceased now, from a few years ago, Stephen Covey, and he wrote a book called The 7 Habits of a Highly Effective Person, right? Yeah, of highly successful people. And one of the things that Stephen Covey, and there was a lot of wisdom in that book, but it was not necessarily a Christian book, but it had a lot of wisdom in it. One of the things that he encourages people to do is to begin with the end in mind. So what do you, where do you want to end? And a good way, he mentions this in his book, a good way to kind of visualize that is, what do you want people saying at your service? At your funeral service. We don't like to really think about that kind of stuff maybe, but what do you want people to say? And I promise you, none of these things are on the money and possessions and titles and popularity and success. None of those things are on my list. You know, I hope that people will say he loved God and he loved his family. And I know this is kind of goofy, but I hope they say, and he enjoyed life. He had fun. You know, I won't hold them to us, but I, a couple of years ago, I have all these goofy hats and wigs, and is Betty here? She's leaning over, but somebody get her. This tells you something about Betty Martin and your pastor. We had the garage sale a couple of weeks ago, and Betty comes in the Sunday right before the garage sale. She said, "I got you something at the garage sale." And I said, "Oh, my dear, what is that?" And she came running down here to where she had had it and came running back down there. Well, I don't know if you were running, but you were moving pretty quick. And she comes in with this long blonde wig. And I said, "Betty, I have no idea what that says about your pastor that you thought of me when you saw a long blonde wig." It's okay to have fun, church. It's okay to be joyful in the Lord. What's our legacy? What do we want our legacy to be? What are we pursuing in life? What will people say about us in those final days, that final moment? I just reflect on that for just a minute. I'll ask you to just bow your heads as I close. Father, I'm just so thankful for family and friends, and that we have a Savior that we can put our faith in. Father, I'm just reminded that the Christian life is not this life of following a theology or rules or the traditions of our churches, and it's not about any of those things. It's about a man hanging on a cross with us on his mind. That's what it's about. And there is no other religion that can take that place, that can stand in that gap for us. Only Jesus. And I shout it from the mountaintops. Jesus, you are good. Thank you for justifying me. Thank you for justifying those who've placed their faith in you. Thank you for the fruit that comes from that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The fruit of your Spirit when we are inhabited by you. Teach us, Lord, how to be more like you. May we remember to live our lives in a way that matters. Forgive us when we pursue the things of this world over you. love you. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that as you were hanging on the cross, you were mindful of us. You did it for us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.